got it. I shouldn't be able to, should not be allowed to touch anything. Like things like mechanical or electrical or stuff.
That's recording.
When I was in the military, we couldn't have any professionals. We had to learn how to do all the stuff ourselves. And I can take care of this. I bet I shocked myself 300 times because I wouldn't admit I needed a helper. It was weird having, believe it or not, we had to learn how to do every aspect of it because we couldn't hire anybody. And that was, and it just got weird. All right. Well, let's start in verse 15 again. We get a couple of verses, I think. On the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle. I hope it's on. The cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at evening there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. And so it was always. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in this and in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud was upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud was taken up when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from evening unto morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night, or that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days, a month, a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining therein, the children of Israel abode in their tents. They journeyed not. When it's taken up, they journeyed. Now, what is he talking about? The Bible defines doubt in a totally different way than we do. The Bible's definition of doubt is you have a more than one choice to make. If you're confronted with something and you have to pick this road or this road, that's called doubt. So, because you have more than one option. Now, I've talked about this for many years. But I don't think people live it yet. When you have more than an option, you do nothing. You wait on Him. But as long as you're in the world, you're going to always have more than one option. Do you understand what the importance of what we just read? This isn't a fairy tale back from that Old Testament. That's the old God. No, this is instructions today. If you have more than one option, you do nothing. And you abide in the tabernacle. What's the tabernacle? It's you. Now, to the best of... Well, you heard me talk about it, but for the first couple, three, 4 years, probably, I just ignored this. So I ended up doing all kinds of weird stuff. But since the late 70s, I have, if I had more than one option, it did nothing. I waited. And I still, that's what I do every day. No. Oh, you don't understand, Ole. You don't understand my position. Well, of course I do. I lived it. But some time has to happen. And this is the direction of the Lord. If you have more than one option, it's called doubt. You understand that? If you have doubt, you can't proceed in faith. So you wait until a cloud is lifted. Or the, see, in the type, the cloud is lifted or the fire is on it. But if you don't, if these are the, there's many, many things like this, but it's the instructions on how to live by faith. That's what the entire Old Testament is. Does this communicate to you?
Yeah.
As soon as Tom stops chewing, he's got something to say.
Yes, that's true. Here's my problem with that. I'll give you an example. Along about earlier this year, last year, I decided that it was time to do something about this idea that Darlene had been floating for 3 years about getting a divorce. I could have, yes, filed for a divorce, or I could have, no, not filed for a divorce. I chose to, yes, file for a divorce. I think you always have two options, do something or don't do something. That's what makes this hard for me to understand.
This thing is always trying to get you to make decisions.
Yeah.
This thing you can't follow anymore. This thing is called the evil one.
I understand that, but I mean, I don't see where the, how I could not have doubt about whether to file or not file.
If you have doubt about it, you do nothing. It doesn't matter whether it's giving away $1 million or filing for a divorce or anything else. If there's more than one option, you have by definition doubt. That's what this chapter is about.
How do I not have more than one option? I mean, I always had both options.
I've lived this for 40-some years. You don't know, it's not the way it works. You slowly see that your fertility, as long as you're giving breath to something in the world, none of this will make any sense.
Well, I'm glad for the way it worked out because it was important to get it over with. So, you know,
it doesn't matter what you're glad or not. It doesn't matter whether results happen. That's not the point.
Yeah.
The point is your obedience.
Okay.
And well, that's what
you hammer us about doubt, but it seems like that's still doubt to me. Do it or don't do it. It's not two choices. I can either do something or not do something.
It's one or more. More than one.
Yeah.
You have more than one option. You could have 20 options, 100, who knows. But that's the point. You're then just operating as a Gentile. It doesn't have anything to do with the facts. It has to do with whether it's living by faith or by senses. It has to do which. It has to do, are you truly understand that this thing called your mind is the evil one? It's the instead of Christ? For in case Lewis doesn't know, the word anti in the Bible, anti-Christ, anti doesn't mean against. It's the Greek word for instead of. So it's really easy to see if you are the instead of Christ. You are the instead of Christ. You are the Antichrist. That's every man's mind is. I've tried to find out. There's only one place that I saw in the, that was near when our friend Constantine screwed up the church forever. There was only one writer that wrote about this, and I've never seen it before, but by God, when I saw that, I had one witness, and I was hallelujahing all over the place. because that was the only thing that makes sense, to live by faith. You can't continue just to say you're living by faith because you put God's name in everything. That's not faith.
So really, really, in Tom's situation, there's a lot of situations like that. When he was at that crossroads with Darlene, whatever that was, really it was about repenting, praying, and waiting to hear from God.
And waiting till you only have one option. That's the hearing from God.
But repenting?
Well, I mean, that's...
Well, that's turning from self. He thought he had two options, then he...
Well, then you put...
He was using his mind.
But my point to you in thinking about these kind of things, then you put... Repenting, you make that another option. So now you have three. So all I'm saying to you is understand this from God's perspective. He wants not our mind. He wants our mind renewed, that this mind which was in Christ be also in you. That mind of Christ was... Anybody remember? What's the Greek word?
Obedience.
Hmm?
The word, are you thinking about the word kino?
Kino. And it means as empty as a vacuum. That gives you back what the evil one took. It gives you back direct communication with God the Father by the Holy Spirit or by Jesus Christ, because you're not cluttering up this access with... That's what the purpose of the mind is to try to clutter up that access so you think you're doing good and you're doing the best you can. No, you're not. The best you can't possibly meet the standard. Because the standard of our life is Jesus Christ and Him alone. Do you understand how radical this is?
Yeah. It seems like it wasn't a complicated issue.
It's the same issue as now. When the cloud is down, when you're against the fire.
The fire and the cloud seem to be types of the Holy Spirit.
No, they're the doubt. Doubt or no doubt. There's doubt and faith.
But it's the guy. It is the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
Correct, but it's not. It's not him telling you what to do. It's you learning to wait and see. Then finally, waiting is your only option if you have more than one option. If you have more than one choice. That's what faith, that's what living by faith means. Let's go back there. Back to 9. Verse 15 again. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up. Now, what day is that for you?
Baptism.
No.
Death.
Hmm?
Death.
Well, but I mean, the practical aspect, you know, is the... It alters your way of life. It changes everything. You're not trying to find the best answer or do the best thing or the good thing versus the bad thing. You're not doing any of that any longer. You've left that. That's all gone. Now, what's am I by faith or by non-faith? By faith is if there's... The cloud is down. All that cloud business means is that if the cloud is down, you have more than one choice. You understand? The fire is just boom, move, go. But when you have more than and they pitch their tents, that means you're the tabernacle of the living God. That's who's talking to here. The tabernacle.
This is like when on the day that it was finished, the work was completed, the tabernacle was reared up, the Spirit of God entered in. Then they walk by faith, not by sight, which he...
Well, that didn't happen, of course. They spent 40 years in the wilderness and never made it to Promised Land. Because none of them would do this. That's why they ended up holding, trying to get God's attention, or God's trying to get their attention. And they stayed in Kadesh Barnea for 40 years because God wouldn't let them in the Promised Land until that generation had died out, who had called faith something other than, made faith into a noun. That's what the biggie is. Faith isn't a noun. Faith is a verb. And it becomes the only verb in your language. But do you see, that's what the whole of being in the wilderness. They spent all those years in the wilderness in total and complete rebellion. Now, the only ones that made it, that were born in Egypt, were Caleb and Joshua. That's the only two. Every other person that was born in Egypt, and had left in the Passover, died in the wilderness because they could not partake of the promise, because they continued on their own way, what they thought was right to do with their own mind, and God said, "Okay, here's 40 years you can spend right here in this Kadesh Barnea," which is a pretty nice place, but it's far from what God had in store for him. Now, we've never studied this before, I don't think, in this manner.
We've studied it many, many times, but maybe not
this
maybe
intense.
It didn't hit as...
But what I'm saying is, it's the reason this is so critical to me now. Every day, it's just everything in me is saying the end is near, the end is near, the end is near. And if you don't know it, I, at the conversion experience, part of it was that I knew I was going to see the end was coming during my lifetime. Well, I'm an old fart now. There's not much time left. Either that was totally wrong, which I don't think it was. I've been saying it for ever since. You understand from how much, what part of the day are you really serving God, and what part of the day are you serving yourself? Now, you're fundamentally serving yourself when you have an investment in the outcome. Everybody see that? No. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking. This is the first time Lewis has heard this stuff. Is that how you pronounce your name, Lewis?
Yes.
Luis.
Yeah, that's what I. Is it Luis or is it?
It's Luis. Yeah.
So why don't you tell me that? I want to be Luis. I don't want to be. I want to call you the right name. Luis. Ever that? My prayer and everything that I've been doing for 40 years is trying to get a group of people who are no longer, their garment is no longer spotted by the flesh. And that's why this scripture is so, let's go to Revelation 19.
I was thinking in these guys, what if they'd have made it? What if God let them in? Then
he would have justified sin then.
Then the message would be that you can follow certain rules and laws, and that's all it takes to enter the kingdom of God.
That's the same mistake that Israel made as a nation. They didn't see Christ. Now, if I look, I don't care where we look in the Old Testament, I see Christ. That's why it bugs me. It's Old Testament, New Testament. No, the Old Testament, that's where God was a bad God. Now we got a nice God, or some crap like that. All right.
Where did we go?
Revelation 19.
And listen to, I mean, this is the seven vials and the seven plagues and all the sevens that have come are coming to an end in the Revelation. And the reason, why all the sevens? Because God doesn't care about your sevens; He wants you at eight. Eight is the transfiguration. Seven is the what you have to enter or be at total rest in order for eight to be there. A little bit.
Yeah.
And that's why the book of Revelation is so incredible. It just blows you up when you see that everything God is doing is trying to get us to not something about our life today, but get us to the point where we're ready and able for Him to rise us up in the air. All right. I just look. I shouldn't look. I'm going to throw that clock away, and then it won't bug me.
Yeah, I have to leave it.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys.
Okay, so tomorrow, if you're here, you start at Revelation 19.
Let's start with this trigger thingy. Yes. Trigger thingy, that's a technical term for it.
You're falling on awesome.
At least, is this stuff making, penetrating? Do you want to see it? Does everybody think at least maybe there's a possibility what I'm saying might be right?
Yeah.
I was kind of struck by the fact that he calls it at the commandment of the Lord. And it sounds like a law, but all that's happening is there's a cloud or no cloud, or a cloud or a fire.
Amen.
But it's called at the commandment, so I guess the implication is a commandment is not like a rule or a law, but it's what you see. And you are obedient to what you see. And that's what you follow.
Well, the thing that every truth must be established by two or three witnesses. And so, And from my standpoint, what I was teaching was just shocking me. And so most of the time I didn't teach it until I had two or three witnesses. Same with this, what we just studied. I never taught on that in its intensity because we didn't have two or three witnesses.
And you had to live it first, too. What strikes me about this is how many times it's repeated in that same chapter. I mean, like 10 different times.
That's true.
It's like, you better pay attention to this.
Well, I don't know if it is anybody else's guide, but when something is repeated twice in the same chapter, it's really important in the Bible. Yeah. If it's repeated three times, you're really going to get your ass kicked if you don't see it. And if it's repeated 10 times in the same chapter and you still don't see it, God help you. Because He's tired of going to war with your mind. Because, I mean, your mind is, not just your mind, my mind, all minds, they are the instead of Christ. This is why Jesus Christ was the last Adam. Then if He was the last Adam, who are we? We are of the Antichrist. We are of the evil one. Mark down Isaiah 58.
All right.
All right. Any other brickbats? Or anybody want to throw anything here? Everybody see it? Take it, big guy.